Welcome to the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, episode number 366. If independent filmmakers do not understand the business side of the industry, they will not survive in the new film economy. Mongo Wilder.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome to another episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success. The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com. Before we get started today, guys, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the love, all the support from the tribe with my new book, Rise of the Filmtrepreneur. It hit number one within 24 hours and has maintained in the top five since then, which is insane. And I'm getting so many messages, emails, and reviews of the book already. You guys are binging these books the second you, like, people are reading the entire thing in one day. And I really, truly, truly am humbled by the response. And I really hope it does help independent filmmakers build careers, build full businesses out of what they love to do. It is my passion and goal and mission in life to show you how to make a sustainable career doing what you love to do. And I hope this book is the spark that sets off that revolution. And we do need to change the way we think as independent filmmakers. If we don't, we will not survive in the new film economy. So thank you again, guys. And if you have read it, please leave a review on Amazon, Audible, or wherever you are purchasing this book. Thank you again so much. But today we're going to talk about something that really kind of sent shockwaves into the independent film world, which is Amazon, after January 1st, will be dropping their per hour streaming rate for content on Prime from a whopping 6 cents per streaming hour down to a rock bottom 1 cent per hour. If they could go any lower, I'm sure they would. But it is down to 1 cent. Now, I know that sent absolute shockwaves throughout the business because they're like, well, 6 cents was insulting. Now 1 cent. So how are filmmakers even supposed to make money on these platforms at such a low rate? Well, there's some good news and then there's some bad news. So the bad news is that, yes, Amazon has dropped their minimum rate per streaming hour to 1 cent. So that means if you upload your movie to Amazon Video Direct, or if a distributor uploads your movie to Amazon Video for Prime, this does not affect TVOD. This does not affect transactional. So you can still rent, sell your movies and get different percentages. If you rent your movie for 99 cents, you're going to get like 40 to 60 cents. I forgot what the exact cut is, but you're going to get a substantially more. So that's another piece of advice. If you're going to put it up for TVOD, put it up for 99 cents, put it up for a dollar, and at least you're going to get some more with that. But yes, it's down to 1 cent. But the good news is that on the high end, you can go now up to 12 cents per hour, which I know does not sound like a lot, But trust me, because of Amazon's massive infrastructure and massive customer base, you're talking about millions upon hundreds of millions of potential people watching your film for free on Prime, and you getting upwards of between 1 cent and 12 cents per hour. It does add up, believe it or not. Now, I have seen behind-the-scenes numbers of films on Amazon Prime at the old 6 cents per hour streaming rate, and they were doing very well. We're talking about thousands of dollars per month, sometimes tens of thousands per month, depending on the title and how aggressively it is marketed. Now, this new rate is for North America. So in Canada and the US, it is 1 cent minimum and 12 cent maximum per hour of streaming. It's a little bit different for the UK, Germany, Austria, and Japan. They're all within the same realm depending on the currency. But the area that you have the most potential for growth is outside of those core countries I just laid out. So Amazon's looking for content overseas because that is the growth market in the world. The US, UK, Germany, all those big markets, they're pretty much saturated with a lot of content. But where they need content is in the rest of the world. So in France, Italy, Spain, and the rest of Europe, they're paying 13 cents euro. I don't know what the cent is in euro, but they're paying equivalent of 13 cents, which will be about 10 to 12 cents per hour. India, they're paying more. Mexico, Brazil, and all of Latin America is a flat 13 cents US. And Australia and the rest of the world is being paid 8 cents flat. So there is some upside to this. And I know that sounds weird because we're talking about pennies. We're talking about like between 1 cent and 12 cents or 15 cents or something along those lines per hour, which sounds ridiculous. But as I talked about in another episode, the devaluation of our content is happening. You are not able to generate the same amount of money you used to even a couple of years ago off of the exploitation of the film itself, because people are changing. The streaming wars are in full effect now. So everything is changing so, so rapidly. So you as filmmakers need to change the way you look at things. Before, you're like, oh, Amazon is the only way to make money, or DVD was the only way to make money, or you know, movie theaters are the only way to make money. There is multiple ways to generate revenue. And if your only hope is that you're going to get paid money from Prime to make money for your film or to get your money back from your film, you are in a bad, bad shape. That is a bad place to be. Again, I'm going to keep busting out the filmtrepreneur method. You have to diversify your revenue streams. Amazon is one of many revenue streams that you should generate from the exploitation of your film. And furthermore, you should, of course, create more ancillary revenue streams from products and services and other things that you can generate from the film. But I've gone into deep detail about that in the book and in other episodes. Now, why has Amazon done this? Why did Amazon drop their rates so much and drop the low end and raise the high end? The reason why is that Amazon Video Direct, they are the only major platform, streaming platform, that allows direct uploads from independent creators. By doing that, they opened the floodgates up to a lot of crap, to be honest with you, a lot of bad movies, a lot of low quality stuff that is bogging down that system. So that was one of the reasons a few months ago, if not less 6 months ago or something, they just started pulling movies off without any reason, any warning. They would just literally pull titles off that they just didn't feel was good anymore. And you know why they could do that? Because they can, because they're Amazon and that's their sandbox. Like I've said many times before, when you play in someone else's sandbox, you got to play by their rules. And if they want to take their toys and walk away, guess what? They're going to do it because they own the sandbox that you're playing in. So the reason why they did what they did is they want to discourage this lower end quality content to be uploaded. So if they go, look, at the low end, you're only going to get a penny an hour. So if your stuff's not really that good, don't bother. That's basically the message that they're sending to independent creators. And for better or worse, that's just the way it is right now. But on the flip side of that, it is good news for good, high-quality content and high-quality movies. And in the show notes of this episode, I lay out all the things that Amazon is requiring or factors to contribute that will help you in the algorithm, in Amazon's algorithm, to get paid more per hour streamed. So here are some of the things that you need to do to be able to get paid more on Amazon per hour of streaming. First thing they're looking at, or the algorithm is looking at, is unique customers. The amount of current and new Prime members that view your title. Meaning that if you can generate more people to come and watch your movie or your content on their platform, that's a plus. Next thing is streaming hours, the time each customer spends engaging with your content. That also includes sharing, commenting, reviewing. All of those things are included in the interaction or engaging with the content. So if you can have people click on the share button from your Amazon page of your movie, that helps. It also, the rating on IMDb, because Amazon owns IMDb. So if you have a higher rating on IMDb, that also is a factor in their calculations. Next thing, the title's popularity. If you have notable talent, meaning high-end actors, recognizable faces, people who are popular, that helps. If you have relevant genres, meaning that if there's a genre that is being really well consumed on Amazon, that's going to help. Again, your IMDb presence and rating helps. And box office performance is also a factor. So if you were in the box office and you made money, if you're big or smaller, it helps in the algorithm. And finally, the title caliber. Things like having a compelling and high-quality poster really helps. Having accurate and representative copy and metadata is super helpful, meaning the more details you have, the more little keywords you're able to put in there, the better. And also localized subtitling and key art for those sections. So if you have subtitles for outside countries and key art for those outside territories, that's going to be a plus because right now, currently, Amazon's looking to expand in these other emerging markets. Basically, Amazon's making you work a little bit harder for those pennies that they're giving you. But that is the reality of the world. You can bitch about it, you can complain about it, or you can get on the train and go, or you can get off and pout. It is up to you. This is the new world, guys. When I say the new film economy, this is part of that new film economy. Things are changing daily, weekly, monthly. It's changing very, very fast. What was true 6 months ago is no longer true today. What is true today as of this recording in a month, in January 1st, will change. Amazon will change the way they do business with independent content creators. So you have to understand and be aware of what's going on and adjust, pivot, and make it work. If not, you'll be left behind, guys. This is just the bottom line. Now, here are some best practices for customer engagement according to Amazon. Make sure you review your dashboard performance metrics to identify engagement trends, top performing titles, and more. You can use these insights to bring additional selection and quality content for customers on Prime. Providing accurate, crisp, clear, and compelling title metadata, like your synopsis and description, will help. You should absolutely create an IMDb page for your title. If your movie already has an IMDb page, make sure that production and award details are accurate and up to date. Align your programming with seasonal relevancy. So horror movies for Halloween, holiday movies for the holidays, love stories for Valentine's Day, and so on. Now, a power tip, an Amazon power tip I can give you is because Amazon is looking to expand outside of their core countries that they've already established themselves in, is if you have a movie and you happen to have dubbed versions of that movie in other languages, That is a huge, huge advantage for you. So if you have a movie in English and you have a dubbed Italian version of that same movie and you place it in that territory, you will make a lot more money. I promise you, you'll make a ton more. So if you're able to generate dubbed versions of your movie for different territories around the world, that's going to be a huge, huge moneymaker for you. Now, does the cost to create a dubbed version make sense? Or does the ROI make sense for you to do that? So if it's going to cost you $5,000 to do a dubbed version of your film so you can put it in the Italian market, does the Italian market have that? Can you make enough money in that market to justify that cost? That is up to you. If you happen to be one of those films, an older title maybe, that has dubbed versions already done and that's already been paid for long ago, you'd be foolish not to upload your films directly to Amazon Video Direct and publish them in those territories. Another thing that Amazon will be looking for is social media metrics, meaning that the more that you send traffic from all the big social media platforms to Amazon will also help you get a little bit more of a push by the algorithm. And one last thing is, if you're with a studio, that a bigger distribution studio, that adds to the algorithm's helps. And there's a handful of studios out there who have been identified by Amazon as a studio. There's not a lot. There's probably 15, 20, something along those lines. So there's not a lot of those studios. But if you happen to make a deal with a distributor, ask if they are a studio on Amazon and are they identified as a studio, and to send you their studio page so you can verify that they're an actual studio and find out, because that does help with the algorithm as well. Now, I hope this episode was helpful to you guys. I know a lot of people were going crazy, like, what are we supposed to do now? How are we supposed to make any money with our movies? Again, if your main distribution plan was to upload this to Amazon Video Direct and that was the only way you're going to make money, I'm sorry, that's just not the way the world works anymore. It's just not the way it is. It might have been a handful of years ago when Amazon first launched, they were paying obscene amounts of money and you were making tens of thousands of dollars, but those days are gone, gone. So you have to look at the new landscape, the new film economy that is going on right now, and seeing what you can do, how you can pivot, how can you adjust your approach to the marketplace so you can generate revenue with your film. Again, you need to start thinking like a filmtrepreneur. You got to start thinking like an entrepreneurial filmmaker. You have to generate multiple revenue streams that you control to be able to generate revenue for your movie. That is the key. That is what is going to save you. That is what's going to make you more resilient to any major changes in the marketplace. So if I have 15 or 20 different revenue streams coming in from my movie and I control most of them, and I, you know, one of them, like Amazon, just dies on me, or for whatever reason, the algorithm changes, they decide to start paying you 1 cent per hour or whatever that is, then you have 14 other revenue streams to fall back on. You have to diversify your revenue income. That's just the bottom line. If you don't, you're setting yourself up for major damage and a lot of pain. So it would be the equivalent of me investing in one stock. Let's say pets.com. Back in the early 2000s, there was a stock that was called pets.com. And imagine if I would have taken my life savings of $200,000 and I would have invested everything in it because it was hot. It was what was going on. And that was the revenue. I was making money with it left and right. But when that company went under, when the entire .com crash happened, I would have been left penniless because all of my money would have been tied up in one stock, in one company. So that's the same mentality that so many filmmakers have. They put all their eggs in one distributor, in one company to make all the money for them. And you can't do that. You have to think like a filmtrepreneur. You've got to diversify your revenue streams coming into your movie. And once you have one, two, three, four, five movies like that, now you have a business. I know it's crazy, but now you have a business. So each one of those movies might have 10 or 15 revenue streams. So now you're talking about close to 100 revenue streams coming in from your movies consistently, daily, while you sleep. That is the goal. That is the dream. And if you're able to make 20 movies, 10, 15, 20 movies, and you're able to generate all those revenue streams, and once you have those systems in place, then it becomes turnkey. And all of a sudden, you're able to build a business out of this. That is the key. So I hope that this episode shows you that you shouldn't freak out because one revenue stream decided to change the game. Because I promise you, all these other revenue streams that you might have, all these other companies, Netflix, Hulu, all the new streaming platforms are coming out, DVD, whatever the revenue stream is. If you put all your eggs in that basket, I promise you, you're going to lose. Might not be now, but you will lose in the long term. I mean, look at companies like Hulu. I sold my movie, This Is Meg, to Hulu 2 years and change ago. They're not buying independent films right now. Why? Because when Disney bought 20th Century Fox, they became the majority shareholder in Hulu, and they changed the game. That is the way this world works, guys. And it's not like the olden days where revenue streams and distribution outlets were pretty stable. And when they changed slowly. It took a long time for VHS to turn to sell through VHS, to turn into DVD, to turn into Blu-ray, to turn into rental revenue, to turn into streaming. And so, but if you notice, it's starting to pick up. The speed now is like, it's lightning fast. It's changing so fast, you can't even keep up. But as independent filmmakers, as filmtrepreneurs, it is now your job to understand what's happening in the marketplace. If not, you will fail. If not, you will not be able to make a living doing what you love to do. Bottom line, straight, raw, bottom line talk here, guys. So you need to understand the marketplace. You need to understand how you can make money in the marketplace. And then you need to understand how you can generate revenue outside of the traditional marketplace, like ancillary product lines, like services, like other things that you can build out around your film to make money. Now, if you want to check out the show notes and have all these links and information about Amazon and what they're doing and specific policy guidelines, best practices and all sorts of other stuff, I put everything in the show notes at indiefilmhustle.com/366. And guys, if you haven't already, please leave a review for this show and share this information with as many filmmakers as possible. Share this episode with as many filmmakers as possible. We as a community need to help each other survive and thrive in this new film economy, to survive and thrive in this business. This is a revolution. I want to start a revolution in independent filmmaking. I want filmmakers to take back control of how they make money with their movies, with their content. That is what needs to happen if we're going to survive the new film economy. So if you can, if you haven't already, please leave a review for the podcast at filmmakingpodcast.com. And I will have a surprise for you next week, guys. I have a couple surprises for you next week because that's who I am and I like to surprise you guys. So one is I will be releasing the new trailer for On the Corner of Ego and Desire. It is coming out next week, so keep an eye out on it from all my social media platforms, on YouTube and so on. I will finally be releasing that trailer, and the movie itself will be released on the 21st of January 2020, a few days before the Sundance Film Festival. It will be available on Amazon, on Apple TV, and of course on Indie Film Hustle TV, which will have exclusive content available nowhere else, and exclusive audio commentary, as well as behind the scenes of how we were able to shoot a $3,000 feature film at the Sundance Film Festival in about 4 days. I'm super excited to finally bring this movie to you guys. It's been way too long. That will never happen again that I hold so long onto a movie. But I was busy, guys. I was writing books. I was doing other things. And I wanted to kind of wait for this perfect timing to release the film. So I can't wait to hear what you guys think about that. But that's coming out next week. And I have a special Christmas edition of the podcast coming out which is going to be a lot of fun, I promise you. So thank you for listening, guys. As always, keep that hustle going. Keep that dream alive. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Indie Film Hustle podcast at IndieFilmHustle.com. That's IndieFilmHustle.com.